Father, we thank you so much for the grace that have gathered us together. Father, we thank you for your spirit that has given us and filled our heart with a longing for more of you. Father, we thank you for giving us your burden for our generation, our cities, and for our nations. Father, we thank you for giving us the desire to be willing to be living sacrifices upon the altar of incense. Father, we give you glory because your name and the name of your Son Jesus will be exalted forever. Tonight again, we thank you for giving us a heart of worship and thanksgiving. Father, I join with my sisters and my brothers to thank you for hearing ears, O God, and seeing eyes. Thank you that you give us hearts that are willing to apply your wisdom and your understanding in our lives. Father, have your way, and we yield to your spirit that teaches and guides us into all truth. And to you alone be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank God again for you all, and let's continue to pray for all the intercessors that are just taking the responsibility to restrain the evil that is raging in our time until God moves mightily in the midst of our generation. We've been praying tonight and from the different prayers that God will continue to allow these things that we are learning together to help us be more effective in prayer and have enduring faith that waits until we see victory in all that we're doing. And so we thank God that he will continue to inspire us and encourage us and edify us, because you are already praying, you're already giving your life to this, but these teachings will help to strengthen your hands and give you just that endurance and that comfort you need to persevere until all the breakthroughs, we see our breakthroughs. So we thank God for that. Last week we were looking into going into a different subject in the area of spiritual warfare, which is, we're just waiting on God to lead us in the area of prophetic spiritual warfare, prophetic prayer. But, you know, as I was waiting on the Lord and praying, like we said, the area of identity cannot be exhausted. I mean, the Bible is just full of knowing who we are in Christ, knowing our identity. But there's some aspect of this identity I feel we need to really express. So as I was waiting, this came to me to really share this aspect. It entails really reading a lot of scriptures to help us in this particular area of spiritual identity. And the area we're looking at tonight, as we look at the effectiveness of knowing our identity in Christ, is the area of power and authority. The area of power, our identity as it regards to our effectiveness in really operating in power, really understanding the power of God and expressing the authority that comes with it. So, and the humility that is required for us to be effective leaders in this area. So tonight, I want to talk about identity as it relates to operating or exercising, working in the power and the authority that has been delegated to us. So I want to read a few scriptures tonight. I'll be reading quite a few scriptures that will speak for themselves, and then I will explain a little bit. Again, the reason for this is, I believe everybody on this line, because of your yielding life to prayer, it's just we have no doubt that we are seeing the signs of the last days. We are seeing so many things transpiring, and we are about to see some amazing signs that are just things that are becoming more obvious and more visible. We're living in the last days, and we know that the devil, the Bible makes it clear, the devil will be so aggressive to the people of the earth in this last days because his time is short. But God also is giving us this understanding to know that regardless of whatever the enemy or whatever will happen in our time, God is giving us power, is giving us authority to rule through his blood and through the blood of his son and to exercise total authority over every power of the enemy. So let me read a few scriptures to help us today. The first scriptures I want to read is in Matthew chapter 28. I'll read verse 18. These were the last sayings of Jesus in the book of Matthew. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power. And this is a combination in the Greek of both power and authority. All power and authority, or all power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And it says, go you therefore and disciple the nations, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So here it says, all power and authority, all power, is given unto me. That is in Christ. Not only, it says, in heaven, the whole heaven, and in earth. Amen. Now, I want to read another scripture. That God has established to his son here that all power belongs to him. And I sing that song, all power belongs to Jesus. You know, all power belongs to him. So this is the scripture. I'll read this other place here. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. It says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven." Verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power." I give unto you power. Again, in the Greek, this is a combination of power and authority. "I give unto you power to tread, to trample on serpents and scorpions, to rule on serpents and scorpions, and over all," not some, "over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you." Okay, I'll read another scripture here in the book of Luke also. Luke chapter 9. I read from verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority." That's why here some of these scriptures in Greek where I read combines power and authority under power. But here he separated them. He says, "And he said unto his disciples together, I gave unto them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Here we see again that it is very obvious that the Lord has spoken. This is a God manifested in the flesh, saying all power on earth and in heaven has been put upon Jesus Christ, upon Christ, Lord. Now, he says here, those that are his disciples, those that he's been called, those that follow him, he's also delegated and released this. He says, "I've given unto them power and authority over every power of the devil." And the other place he says, over every power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." So these are scriptures. Word of the Lord. Now I want to read another scripture. Here is in the book of Ephesians. I'll read Ephesians chapter 1. He said from verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation," the spirit of wisdom and revelation, "in the knowledge of him," that's knowledge of Christ, "that the eyes of our understanding," your understanding, "be enlightened," be open, "that you may know," that I may know, "what is the hope of his calling," one, "and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Ephesians chapter 2, I read from verse 1. "And you had he quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our lifestyle," our conversation, "in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Verse 6, "And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So here, again, let me just read one more verse in Ephesians, the same Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the scriptures we just read, first of all, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, the Lord has made it clear. And the Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. that all power and authority has been put upon Jesus Christ until he has fulfilled all things and he hands over to the Father, Corinthians 6. And here he says to those that are his disciples, he has given power and authority over every power of the enemy. Now, we have been going through a series of teaching in the area of spiritual warfare. We've come through so many dimensions of this, giving us so many clear illustrations that the light and darkness cannot, there's no contention. When the light comes, darkness must submit. Darkness must disappear. Light rules over darkness. So that's what we're saying. So basically, Jesus is making this clear from all the teachings we're giving before he left. He made it clear, and he made a clear statement. He says, the kingdom of God, all the power and authority has been put on him. And we're talking about his blood here. So now, it was very clear from, if we've been following this teaching, that the kingdom of God is light. The kingdom of darkness is darkness. The kingdom of Satan is darkness. So basically, kingdom of God rules without any controversy over darkness. So what we have been trying to understand through this teaching is that Paul, who came out of a religious set, out of the traditions of men and out of legalism, he was so limited in his, with the passion he had, was buried in religion. So when he encountered Jesus, he said, I refuse to be, you know, to be taught by men. And he went and sought God in the desert, and his men spent time praying. And through all that, his encounters, he started writing these experiences in the Bible. And then God started teaching him things that are so deep spiritually, and empowered him based on him walking in this reality. Because Paul one time said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I that lives anymore, but Christ in me. And the life I live in this flesh is by the faith of the Son of God. So he went from knowledge and revelation to manifesting the image of sonship in maturity. And because of that, this man was able to live out a life that in his days, the Bible records that this man with a team of people shifted the atmosphere of that generation. And the Bible says they turned the world upside down, and he planted churches and made the gospel known to the whole Gentile world, and planted churches all over the world and established the kingdom of God. So, he's in his writing, in what we are learning in the area of spiritual warfare that we're focusing on, he is making some things very clear. He says in Galatians chapter 4, where we read that, where has been our base of scripture, that an heir, one that is already born into the kingdom, one that already has the DNA of Christ, one that already carries the very life of heaven, the umbrella of heaven over them. One that is literally living in light. But it says, as long as that one is still having a mentality of a child, meaning a child in this area, is still, his mind is not being renewed from the condition he came out from the world with, the condition of the flesh man. He says, as long as this man is still carnal, still childish, still very, very, still fleshly, he says, though in this person rests this kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God, but they will never walk in the kind of mantle and be able to exercise or be effective in expressing the kingdom of God or be effective in their generation unless they come to maturity. But it says, How do you come to maturity? It says they come through tutors and governors, training and teachings and understanding, and then until they come to this to the time appointed of the Father, and then come to the place of sonship, real maturity, and then they can walk in that mandate of an heir. But that word, tutors and governors, we went through the various ways the Holy Ghost has trained people through the years, like Joseph, Abraham, Moses, and all these people, how after their training, they were able to come back and shifted the atmosphere. Now, part of the training is what the Spirit of God does. It's the Spirit that releases this kind of understanding is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Spirit that Paul finally told us that reveals the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So what the Spirit of wisdom and revelation does, that he reveals Christ. He reveals the kingdom of God. He reveals the character of God. He reveals everything about God. He reveals everything about the Son of God. Then he reveals everything about us as flesh. Then he reveals everything about us coming out of darkness and walking into this inheritance we have, this adoption, and how to walk in it. Now, some of this can totally be knowledge. But then God begins to teach us through various scriptures how we can translate knowledge to truly walking in the image of Christ. I will touch a little bit of that today. But what about authority? Okay. All that we read today, if you look at as we're reading Ephesians, every statement is, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about Jesus himself. Paul said to the Ephesian church, one of the very strong churches of that day that Timothy pastored, powerful church, that where the revival started in Asia. Paul said to this church, he says, I have heard about your love. I know you love God. I know you have faith. I know you are doing great things. He says, but there is more. And I am bowing my knees and I'm praying that God will open your eyes so that you can see deep into this Christ, into the reality of Christ, into this revelation of who Christ is. And when you see, then you'll be able to understand the riches of the inheritance and the power that is released through to us who are in Christ. And he says this power Jesus expressed. And he says this power he expressed, and he says that God has put in Jesus to rule over every principality and power. And he sits as the right hand of God. And everything has been made subject to him. Now, Paul started saying in chapter 2, after he said where Jesus is seated, he's now expressed where Jesus is, where he's seated, where he rules from after he left the earth in the flesh. And then Paul said in chapter 2, he says that we were once in the world. And he says when we were in the world, our life was governed by our lust. And because we were children of darkness, Satan, who is the power, the prince of the air, manipulated our life and literally dictated our desires. And we fulfilled just the course of Satan. We were ruled by his own, you know, as long as we're in darkness, everything we did was totally manipulated by the prince of this world. He says, but God in his mercy, when we, like the people in the world still now, he said, but God, when we received the mercy of God, we were saved, we became saved, and we have been saved by God. And now, he says, our position has shifted. We are no more in the world. We are no more in the darkness. We are no more in the kingdom of Satan. But we have been adopted, we've been grafted, like we've said in previous teaching, into a new tree, into a new kingdom, into a new atmosphere, into a new dominion by our circumcision that has taken place in our heart. He says, but what this has done is, it has caused us by faith in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. In Christ, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. So everything that we are spiritually is in Christ, is in the blood, is in this tree, is in this tree line, is in this kingdom. So if light rules over darkness, he's saying we have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. So if we are in light, then we ought to rule over darkness. Because if Christ is light and we are in him, our position in him as being the children of light positions us to rule over darkness. So if we are really in Christ, then we are in light. And if we are in light, automatically we rule over darkness. But he's expressing it in this, the wisdom God has given to him. So how does this work? Let me, because we're talking about power. So if light is power, and for you to rule, you have to be in light for you to rule over darkness. So Jesus is light. So here is an illustration, and we can go a little deeper. In America, for example, America is a nation that has been established with a constitution and laws. And America, the system has been set. And it's a system that has been placed under law. And this system has a process of governance. And we'll say it's a kingdom. So now, America, for example, you have the president, for example. Or that you have a president. But the power that rules in America is governed by the system that have been put in place. So everything is there. America is so powerful. But you cannot exercise that power unless you are in a position within the system. Unless you have a position in that system for you to be able to exercise power. The ability or the legal rights given to exercise power is the word called authority. So when Jesus says, I give you power and authority, and all power is being given to me, he's saying all power and authority is been invested in me. But when he told the disciples, I give you power and authority, he's saying the kingdom of God has every power, but not everybody can exercise that power because they don't know their position in the kingdom. For example, President Obama, okay, before President Obama, let's say it was you have Bill Clinton. When he was in position as a president, he exercised the power of this nation. He exercised the power of this nation. If America was a kingdom like where kings rule, like the kings of old, whatever they say goes, whatever they sign goes. Why? Because they are in position. They don't really have the power as a person, but the nation, the kingdom has the power. But because they are in the kingdom and they know their position, they exercise authority because of their position. So President Clinton, when he left the position of a president, he cannot exercise the power of the nation. He cannot. He is able to exercise power, which is authority, because he was a president. Then Bush came in, did the same thing. So currently we have President Obama. He is exercising and using the power that is vested upon this nation and everything this nation is and stands for because he's in position. And he knows what that position can do. And he's using that position and exercising power. And that exercise of power is called authority. You cannot walk in authority if you do not know your position. And so Paul is saying, here are heirs of God, but because they still have the mindset of still fleshly, still carnal, they have not really been translated to crucifying their fleshly mind so that they can become into an awakening, an awareness of who they are inside, who their spiritual nature is, and the DNA and the kingdom and everything. They've not been taught or trained into the reality of who they are now and the adoption they walk in. He said, because of that, they still think like slaves. They still think like humans. They still think to the level of people who are still subject to the curse of this world and the prince of this world. He said, as long as believers have that mindset, he said, though on the inside, they are in position. But because their mindset is not renewed, they are still walking, you know, out. They are not exercising authority. Because you can only exercise authority if you know your position, if you know who you are. This man that Jesus was going to heal his servant, he said, he's a centurion. He says, you don't have to come under my roof. I know what authority is like. Because you speak the word and you know my servant will be healed. He says, I am a man under authority. When I say to this, go, they go. When I say do this, when I say come here, whatever I say goes because I am under authority. He understood he is under the Roman Empire government. And under that empire, he knows his position in Israel. That he knows who is above him. And he knows those that are under him. And so as long as he is in the system of rulership and understood his position, he knew exactly how to walk in authority. He exercised power. So what Paul was saying, believers will not exercise their authority. They will not walk in authority because they don't understand their position in Christ Jesus. So that's why Paul is emphasizing this thing all through the epistles. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. He has nothing to do with us. And our flesh, once is crucified, say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ. He's talking about this new nature that has been adopted through the blood of Jesus. He understood exactly that he's been translated into a kingdom of light. And light and darkness cannot fight. One has a clear dominion over the other. So here Paul was saying this. So let me use a quick illustration to give us understanding of this exercise, you know, understanding authority, you know, exercising power. Now, here, let's say, for example, what Paul was writing in Ephesians 1, where Jesus is. And then in verse 6, he's talking about where we're supposed to be in position with him. But chapter 2, verse 1, he started saying, but before we are in Christ, we were under the control of Satan in the flesh, where the children of the world are now, before we got saved. So let's put it this way. Let's look at levels. Since you're not seeing me, I'm not seeing you, I wish you were in the room. I can really show this clearly to you on a board. But let's use this illustration using levels. Let's say level one of operation. Level one, let's say that's human beings. That's where man is. The fallen man and the fallen human nature. Level one, that's the earth. So let's say level two of operation, okay, people exercising power and authority. Level two is where Satan and demons rule from. Okay, let's say level two. So Satan and demons, they rule over man, fleshly fallen nature of man. That's what Paul is saying is Ephesians 2, 1, down. They detect the mindset and the culture of man and they manipulate it. So two, those they rule from there. Level three, we'll say angels, the angelic powerful angels that walk on behalf of the kingdom of God. Let's say that's a level three. They rule over the powers of darkness, you know, under assignment. So let's say level four is really the throne room of God. So level four, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, of course. So the kingdom of God Paul, in John writing, said that we might know what is eternal life is that we might know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. And in John chapter 1, 1 John 1:3 says, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. You know, and again in 1 John it says, we don't know what we should look like, but we know that when Christ comes, we'll be exactly like him when he's revealed. So what Paul was saying in Ephesians 2 is that we were in level 1 when we were in the fallen state of man. He says, but as soon as we are born again, though our flesh is here, though we're in the world, but we're no more of the world. He says, our spirit man is born again, is now grafted, is now in Christ, is now part of the kingdom of God. He says, we are now bumped from level 1, where human beings rule, where the authority of men are limited. We go immediately, we're bumped to level 4. Where Christ is seated in heavenly places, above every principality and power. So, our fellowship is not even with angels. Angels are messengers. Angels are messengers sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Paul is saying, John is saying, all these people are saying, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So, that's the realm that God brought us beyond the veil. Before the mercy seat, as sons and daughters, not as angels, but as sons and daughters, that we are to operate out of that realm of authority. So that's what Paul is saying here in Galatians, that as long as we were children, we still see ourselves still subject to level 2 authority, you know, or limited by those who are always seeking for angels. You know, angels will come and minister to us, but you don't worship angels. But our worship, our surrender, our obligation, our fellowship is with God, our Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made us not only heirs of God, but he says we are joint heirs with Christ. We are sons of God. So the position God has put us is the position of his own Son, because we have been adopted into the very blood. So that's what he's saying. Paul is saying, this is a serious issue. If believers want to remain children and allow Satan, level 2, to keep controlling our cities and nations, as long as believers are not willing to come to die to their flesh will keep letting them think that the level 2 spiritual forces are still in charge of man. So what Paul is saying is, if we come to the maturity of sonship, then we understand where our strength and our mandate and rulership comes from, is from level 4. And if we operate from the reality of level 4, it says we can easily dictate to level 2 and change the climate of our spiritual cities and nations. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about. But we're not willing to die, because without dying to flesh, you cannot come to the reality of sonship. And that's where our problem is. So the level 2 spiritual powers are still ruling man and the minds of men and nations and driving and really, you know, and God is looking for people who will come to the realization of their sonship and see that they can operate out of level 4, place of fellowship. And they can dictate to every spiritual power under level 2. So that's why Jesus says, I give you power and authority over every power of the enemy, over every level 2 power control. I put you in place over every level 2, and you use the power of heaven and the level 3, all these angels will serve the purpose of the kingdom of God. And you will dominate level 2, and there's nothing they can do to hurt you if your assignment is not finished. You know. So that's what he was saying to the disciples. Now, as we begin to conclude this, because I feel the Spirit of God wants us to understand that power and authority only belongs to God. David says, I have heard it once and twice, I have heard that power belongs to God. Amen? So our position An understanding of our position in Christ is very critical in these last days. And Paul was begging the Galatians church, how could you have come out of the world spiritually? Why will you go back to slavery again? Understand what Christ has done and come to that place of maturity so that God can use us again to bind and take over the control of what the level two spirits are doing in our cities and nation, and allow the kingdom of God to set people free. Amen? So hopefully these tapes, you can get them and listen to them, because I think if you listen to them a little bit, these things will really sink. Now, let me tell you why it's important for you to get all these teachings we're doing and listen over and over. Now, let's begin to conclude this way. Now, the other scripture I read in Ephesians about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here are the Ephesian church. Why will Paul be writing to such a powerful church and telling them again that there is a place they need to aspire to walk in? There is a place God is calling them. But he says they cannot walk there. They cannot walk in this place unless they see it. So he says, I have to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to open your eyes deeper so that you can see it. What does that mean? Let me read a scripture to you to show you that you can never believe what you don't see in the spirit. See, in the natural world, you can only believe what you see. You know, seeing is believing. If somebody shows you something, you believe. So if you want to buy a car, you say, I want to see it. If you want to buy a house, I want to see it. Sometimes you only believe what you see physically. In the spirit of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, meaning revelation. The word revelation is you see through understanding the things of God, the things of the kingdom of God. So you cannot believe what you don't see. And what you don't believe, you can never walk in it. You can never activate it in your life. So Paul is saying, I'm praying for God to open your eyes so you can see. Because if you don't see these dimensions in God, these things in Christ, you will not believe it. And if you don't believe it, you will not walk in it. And then again, we are limited in the effectiveness of making a difference in our generation. So here is how Paul again describes the transformation that takes place based on the revelations we experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, instead of reading the whole thing, because of time, I'll just read verse 18. It says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror, in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. What Paul is saying here is this. In the physical, a mirror is what you use to look at your image. When you look at a mirror, you see yourself. Paul is saying the level of the revelation that is you receive and the understanding that comes to you of who Christ is, that is the image. When you see it, you will be able to believe God to be transformed into the very image. So the level to which you receive revelation and the level to which you understand it, and then by understanding, the level to which you put it in practice is the level of the image of Christ you walk in. That's the level of maturity you walk in. And the level of maturity you walk in determines the level to which you understand your position in Christ. And when you understand, the level to which you understand your position in Christ is the level of the authority you exercise in terms of the power of the kingdom of God. So, the level to which you understand your position in Christ gives you the right to exercise authority. So, the level of authority we exercise is the level of understanding we have of who we are in Christ. But all power is there and all authority has been given. But our understanding of our position determines the level to which we are effective in our knowledge of the things of the kingdom. So that's why God is calling us to be matured, to grow up, to leave the principal foundational things of Christianity and begin to think a little bit to what Christ has provided for us, not only to affect our family level, not only to affect our job level, but we grow gradually to understanding that we can affect our city atmosphere and affect the atmosphere of a nation with an army that understands the assignment. And so, my brothers and sisters, and that's what God is calling us to in these last days, that God will take away this veil. If you read in 2 Corinthians 3, take away this veil. And so we can behold, like the revelation we've been sharing. What you are hearing, you can walk in it if you put it in practice. But if you don't even see it, if you don't know it, if you have no knowledge of it, you cannot even believe it. And what you don't believe, you don't activate. So that's the purpose of this training. That's the purpose of this awakening and this teaching, so that we can move into the arena of confronting the principalities over our generation. But we only do that because we understand that it's not us, but in Christ, in the light of God, in what he's done, and the adoption we have, and the inheritance we have in that. So I thank God so much, and I pray that as we behold him, we too are being transformed into the same image, into the fullness of the stature of Christ, into the full measure of the Son of God, sons and daughters of God. And as we confront what is about to face us in this generation, we'll confront it with confidence, knowing that God has already given us victory. So I pray that God will seal this in your heart and mind, and that you will get these tips and you listen to them over and over, because what you see, what you hear is faith. And faith causes you to walk in the image of the understanding of Christ. So nothing steals it away from us. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thank you for the spirit that opens our spiritual eyes. I thank you, Father, that faith will arise in us. That, Lord, we, in these last days, you said, will be so equipped that we will not be tossed to and fro by the doctrines and just the wind of the doctrines of this world, but that we will come into the knowledge of the fullness, the stature of the Son of God. And that we will walk in this fullness of Christ. That, Father, by the power of your Spirit, we will be able to fulfill our mandate for this generation. So I thank you for everyone on this line, that you will quicken in us. And you will even, oh God, open our eyes beyond anything we've had tonight. That, God, you will prevail. Your wisdom, your power will prevail. In the name of Jesus. For the sake of our families that have been destroyed. For the sake of our children that have been incarcerated. For the sake of politicians and men, oh God, who have been overtaken. Their minds have been overtaken by the powers of darkness. For the sake, O God, of a generation that has been held by the iron bars of darkness. Father, I pray that you awaken us again, that you will cause your spirit to impact us so much that you will shine your light and cause the darkness over our cities and nation to flee. And the eyes of men will be open to see the light of the gospel. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the honor. Bless every family represented here. Father, again, sustain this prayer line for your name's sake. And continue, God, to bless every intercessor on this line that is carrying this understanding into their areas of influence. We thank you for it. And we thank you for the seal of the blood of your Son.